بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. Carrying on with our talk of yesterday, we discussed about the topi previously, then above the topi the amama, then under the topi the hair, then we went to the kurta, but actually before that was the beard. The beard, to keep a proper sunnat beard, is compulsory according to all four imams. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. According to all, to keep a full beard is compulsory. And it is necessary to understand that what is the sunnat beard. The sunnat beard is one first length below the chin. You measure from here, and then you will see you have one first length. Some of us measure it from here. This here is the baby beard. That is not the beard. So measuring from there, beard will be very small. It must be from below the chin, and it must be one first. And the same on all three sides. This side also, when you want to trim your beard, then first take your beard like that and see. What is more than a first length, that may be trimmed off. And this is very important to understand, that to shave the beard completely is haram. And to cut even the extent of one rice grain, less than a first length, that is also equally haram. Both are the same. In the eyes of the Shariat, both are that you haven't got a beard. One is you haven't filled in an application form, and one is you have done it incomplete. Both will be rejected. You haven't filled in anything, and the other one is that you haven't completed the form. It will also be rejected. So this is for that person whose beard grows. If the beard doesn't grow, it's a different story. In that case, don't touch the beard at all if it hasn't reached one first length. So this is very important to understand, that it must be one first length, the beard, and in all three directions. And then to keep it much more longer than that is also undesired. That is the way of the Jews, and within the Muslim fraternity, the way of the Ahle Hadith, the Salafis. They keep it much more longer. And they followed, according to them, some hadith which they haven't got the proper understanding of. Then the hadith is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let the beards flow and trim the mustache. So don't keep a mustache, but let the beards flow. But now how much must it flow? That you also have to see from the practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, that we should, the beard, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beard was one first length. وَمَا زَادَ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ, and what was more than that, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to clip it. So flowing of the beard means up to one first length. So that is how the beard should be kept. If it's less than that, we'll have a problem when we have to face Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the qabr on the day of Qiyamah. So we should keep the beard. The mustache, the best is to remove it completely. That is the best. If a person wants to keep, he should keep it, but the whiteness of the upper lip must not be covered. That must remain open. But the best is to remove it completely. So that is with regard to the beard, and this is also compulsory to keep the beard. Then we discussed about the kurta. And with regard to the kurta, one more point of the many other points, that if a person, for example, the ulama, we should follow our elders, how their dressing was. Until today, go and see the ulama of Dioban, Saharanpur, Jalalabad, Lucknow, and in Karachi, all these big madrasas, you'll see all of them, the kurta is just above, below the knee and with the slit on the sides. And if we are in Jamaat, look at our elders in Markaz, Nizamuddin, look at our elders in Raiwind, in Kakrail, all of them, the kurtas are like that. If we are in Tasawwuf line, look at our Mashaykh, how they are dressing. So why are we differing from them? Why do we wear different from them? ask ourselves, what is it? Do we know more hadith than them? Are we more pious than them? Have we got more taqwa than them? Why are we differing from them? What is our reason? There is only one thing, it is more of fashion. And it is like one of our students said, when he went in Jamaat, he had both types of kurtas. When he wore the long Arab kurta, he felt like heavy, like he's somebody. That he's got some weight and it looks nice. But when he wore the short kurta, it made him look like he's nothing. So that is the great difference in clothing. In the clothing, one basic rule is to wear such clothing by which pride comes in a person. It is clearly stated in a hadith that you may be walking with pride that I look so nice today. But the minute that feeling comes, you have fallen from the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. And that clothing which makes you feel humble, that is good clothing. That is very beneficial to you. So anyway, let's suffice with that. Going down further, before the trouser, there is another thing, the brief, the jockey. Also ask ourselves, why are we wearing it? And according to medical research, this is a very, very unhealthy thing. The most delicate, sensitive part. If a woman, Allah save us all, she wants to be raped, and if she kicks a man in his private part, that is the most sensitive part of the body. So that part, if a person keeps it with a brief, and it is so tight, and this hampers the flow of blood, and to the most sensitive part of the body. And this is very, very unhealthy also. So, there should be no reason for, and just see how we follow the West, which comes in the Hadith Sharif, that my ummah will follow the non-believers, just like a snake goes back to its hole. Like that, we'll follow in their footsteps everything what they do. Now, there is no sense, and to this limit, that we see our little children, as soon as they are out of their nappies, they also, the mother puts on a brief, a jockey for them. Now, if the big man needs it, he might need it for some reason, which everyone understands. But that little child, what does he need it for? But how much we are following in their ways, that even that little child, we put the, and he's only dressed if he's got his brief, his jockey also on. And the poor child doesn't know anything about it, what it is for what reason is it being put. So therefore, what's it? It's on the side. Try and avoid all these things, causes disturbance. Do it before that. So try and avoid that also. When we were studying in Mia's farm, Marhum Ismail Bey Miam, Ana Ibrahim Miam, our Ustad Ahmed Barakatun's brother, he used to say, I don't keep my bird in a cage. Why must you lock yourself up? And the flow of the blood is necessary. It is very, very important for health's sake. And that is, which we'll come to hopefully, but let me mention it, all clothing which is tight, especially youngsters and girls, especially with the tight jeans, etc. And on top also spencers or anything else which is tight on the body is extremely unhealthy because it hampers the flow of the blood. Then going down further, socks, no problem if a person wears them. And the trouser also, we should try and wear such a trouser that is loose, especially the top part. So that many times, like when a person is sitting for wuzu, he sits down, sometimes eating, and that part of the body becomes a little bit exposed. So if it is tight, the clothing, then it shows the shape also. And also this, people who wear, for one side, they are wearing thick clothing, that is denim, jeans, etc. But then it is tight on the body. And that also shows the shape of the body. And requisite of clothing are two things. It must conceal the color of the body, and it must conceal the shape of the body. And if it doesn't do that, then that which comes in the Hadith Sharif, kasiyat ariyat, that the women are dressed, but they are still naked. And the same is for men. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum, when he came to our masjid, he saw the jubbas hanging. He picked it up, he looked at it properly, then he asked, for what is this? So we said, people who come in with short sleeves. So he said, that is not so important. If you have got short sleeves, that is that your namaz at the most will become makruh. But he said that if you are wearing clothing, the jeans, etc., which are tight, and it reveals the shape of the body, then it means you haven't got, it's kasiyat, it's ariyat. It is like you are not wearing clothes. And the shirt is just till the top, and the sitter is for the man, is till the, including the knee, and all that part, if it is with this tight clothing, and it's showing the shape of the body. And in fact, many times, in the postures of namaz, also with this tight clothing, not only the thighs, but other shapes are also shown in there. So this is like being naked, that namaz also is not made. So he say, make your niyat of this jubbas to cover the part or the sitter of the body. Not the sleeves, not the arms, but the sitter of the body. So if that is, and also if a person wears what is called the shalwar, or in Pakistan they call it the shalwar, in India they call it a shari'i trouser, shari'i izar. And that is the one, not just with the elastic on the top, but the top has got, it's much more broader. And when you use the kamarband, the naru, in Gujarati, naru, when you use that, then you pull it all together. But it's baggy. That's the basic idea. It must be baggy. So it conceals the shape also completely, and it allows complete free flow of blood also. And ask the doctors when blood flow, where you haven't got a good blood flow in the body, that's a major problem. And we restrict it ourselves. So we should be careful about that also. Then very important, the trouser particularly, or any other apparel which comes from the top, must not come even near the ankles. There is also one thing that many of us are very negligent about. We are very pious, we are five times namazis, we are tahajjud guzar also, we go for hajj umrah also, but we just don't pay any attention. At the most, some of us do, and this also is going less, that namaz time we turn up the trouser. That is not only a faraz of namaz, it is for all times, the trouser must never be below the ankle. And in America, in the health centers, there is a board that there now, that keep your ankles open, because when the ankles are closed, are covered, with the apparel that comes from the top, the clothing from the top, in America it's written, this is a cause of mental diseases. Whether now you have tension, pressure, or eventually, final eventuality of becoming insane and mad. This is now in the health centers of America, these boards are advertised there. So we don't need their information and we don't need their research, we are taught. And it comes so clearly in the hadith, مَا أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ مِنَ الْإِزَارِ فِي النَّارِ, that which will be below the trouser, and this is for men, not for women. Women, they must cover their ankles also. But men must leave it open. Today it's opposite. Men are covering it, and women are leaving their ankles, and much more they are leaving open. Then shoes also, it is very important that wear those type of shoes. Don't just follow, just like somebody had observed. The British, when they came to India, and India is a hot country, but they didn't give up their dressing. Though in that heat, they still wore the last button on their shirt, and they wore their tie. And they wore their boots, that means by boot I mean a covered shoe, what we call a shoe. Normally in India they call this a boot. So they covered themselves, though the heat was so much. Whereas the ideal thing in India in the heat is to wear sandals. That's the ideal thing. So yet what the rule is from a health point of view, that your feet also, as much as possible, let them get air. Don't cover them unnecessarily. Socks, if you don't need them, don't wear socks. If it's winter, it's cold, wear it. You got a health problem, wear it. But other than that, if it isn't, and don't try and avoid covered shoes. The whole body needs air. Air to come to the body, air to leave the body. And when we cover it in this way, and especially those people who don't make namaz, who don't make wuzu, and the feet are covered all the time with socks and with their shoes which are laced up and they are tied up, and the whole day they don't. You can see for yourself How many women, when they go out shopping, whatever, and then they wear their high heels and that, when they come back, what is the first thing they do? They kick off those high heels, and that's a part of theirs. They feel so relieved now to go back into that sandals that no matter how old they are or something, but which is open and which is free, they feel so relieved in that. So the body needs this all the time. So that is basically with the dressing. A few other points, and our satis who listen to this talk, if they notice I've missed out a few points, remind me. One of the things is in our dressing, the sign of the Nike or Nike, some people pronounce it like that. Either it's written Nike or it's the sign, the tick. This is a Greek goddess. It refers to a Greek goddess. This is equal to a person wearing clothes and he's got the deota, an idol of the Hindus on his clothes. Or he's got a picture of Isa alayhi salam on the cross. Who will tolerate? No Muslim will tolerate that. But that Nike sign is the same thing. But they've done it in such a subtle way that nobody even thinks about it. It's on our clothing. It's on the hats that people wear in winter. The little warm hats that there's a sign on there. It's on the shoes, the Nike sign. So it is that a person, and this is to such an extent. At one stage, I used to go regularly for Jummah namaz to Krukusdorp town. So one Jummah, I gave a talk on clothing. So our Rashid Bey Lunat Munawar, his brother, Muhammad Bey, very pious person, marhum. He told me after namaz, repeat your talk next week again. So I asked him why. He said there is a very important subject. And I asked him why so important. He said that recently one person it's at a masjid in a shopping area, and now again foreigners are living around. But at that time, there were no Muslims there, hardly any musallis. So on a Saturday Zohar, and there wasn't a fixed imam also. So whoever comes, any person makes imamat. So one person went forward to make imamat. And that person on his t-shirt had the picture of a naked woman. And he's making imamat. Just to be in the, for a Muslim to wear it. And to come to masjid with such, and he's making imam, not even a jubba over it. So we become unconscious. So this is how our clothing has become. There is a beautiful article, which was on all most of the masjid boards, madrasa had printed it. It may be still available. Look what you're wearing. And there are many things in there that people have taken out that we don't realize what we are wearing. So one is that. The other is the wearing of the tie. Wherever we are, today, alhamdulillah, Allah has generally put Muslims in an economically also good position. We aren't working, many of us now, for white firms, and we are dependent, and they forced us to wear a dress as they want to. So the tie, try and avoid that. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, there is a sign, is a symbol of the cross. And if you see it, it is the cross. So that is what it is. So don't avoid it also. Then from a health point of view, my one cardiologist I went and see, and for no reason, he's a Muslim, also got a tie on, and I saw that his hair is his bald, no hair. So I told him, from a health point of view, when you close this button, even if you don't wear a tie, and when you wear a tie, you have to close the top button. So when you close this and you restrict the flow of blood and oxygen, both of them are restricted towards the brain. The effect medically has been written that your hair will start falling off. And many people lose their hair. They become bald. He was also, so I told him, don't wear your tie. This is the cause of you becoming bald. He was kind. He didn't tell me, am I the doctor or are you the doctor? did I come and see you or did you come and see me? Anyway, he accepted it. Allah reward him. So, that is that. Another thing is any tight clothing. Try and wear loose clothing. And especially for muqtada, that is people who have got leadership position in deen, like ulama, imams, their clothing must be even more loose. This has been written. They must wear more loose clothing. Then another thing in this is that in winter usually we have to wear something. We have to wear a jersey, here we call it. Other places they call it a spencer, they call it a jumper, they call it a jacket, whatever it is. But try and wear something that suits your position. Especially if you're an alim, maulana, imam. To wear this jumper, lumber jacket, to wear windbreakers, it doesn't really suit your position. Wear something that suits you. And generally, for any Muslim, wear light pastel colors, like mashallah, by Sir Faraz has got, something like that. A thing that looks, that is accepted as a thing of dignity. Don't wear something that shows you like these rough people who hang around shops and corners, who drive on motorbikes, they are going, and that kind of clothing, that doesn't behove your position. As a Muslim, and especially if you're an alim, you're a hafiz, and if you're a dindar, pious person, you're in jamaat, you're a pious person, you're an imam, then don't try and avoid those things that look like you're making your value less, making you like a rough type of a person, a ruffian, etc. That type of dressing a person should avoid. And anything else? Yeah, in the beard, another very important thing also. That the beard in Arabic is called lahya, and this is the translation of dhari, dhar, your jaw. Lahya is your jaw, and the lower jaw, that is the lahya. And it is called, why is it called lahya, the beard? It's called lahyatun, dhari in Urdu, and in Gujarati also, because it is kept on the lower jaw, on the lahyatun, it is kept on the jaw. So if you open your mouth and you feel your lower jaw, all that part is where the beard must grow. What is above the lower jaw, on the cheek, what we call the cheek, that can be removed. There is no problem, you can remove that. But what is the lower jaw? Now sometimes we keep on trimming it and we go so down that it becomes just a pencil line. Eh? And our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, that we go now, three quarter we have removed. All the hair is gone. Now, remove it. And another way to understand this is from the side burn. From here to your lip, the end where your lips meet. From there, if you take a little curve, all that part is what the beard is supposed to be. When you go down here further, then you are cutting now, and that also is equal in Sharia that you haven't got a beard. Your application form is incomplete, it will be rejected. So therefore see that it is kept on the lower jaw, the whole of the lower jaw. And here the bottom on the neck, whatever is growing towards the beard must be kept. What grows away from the beard, what goes away, that can be removed. It may be removed. Our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says, in the army, the soldier that sticks with the army is yours. But who is running away, he's a deserter. He has to be shot execution style. He's shot in the back. So the beard that grows towards the head, that grows towards the beard, that is our man. Keep him. But that if he's deserting you now, he's going away, that can be removed. Okay. Now we go to the ladies, inshallah. When you're removing hair, also don't use a braid, even on your moustache. This hair, medically it has been proven, the nerves hair has got a direct relationship with your sexual organs. And by putting a blade, scientists have found, even if your pot plants in your house, if you're going with a knife to cut it, they also sense it. One hunter who traveled the whole of Africa, he didn't travel with any knife or anything in his pocket. No animals harmed him and they didn't run away from him. Just the presence, today when we can understand, you go through the security at the airports, they pick up, you've got steel, you've got a knife, you've got this. Allah has put this, the zebra for example, of all, today we think we have discovered barcodes. You see the zebra, what's it got? It's got barcodes. Allah put the barcodes from before, and they're using it from before. When a baby zebra is born, the mother zebra blocks its vision from all sides. blows into the nostrils of the baby zebra, and the mother's zebra barcodes are now imprinted on the mind of the baby zebra. And of all the millions of zebras in the world, that baby zebra will recognize, this is my mother. Okay? So Allah put barcodes from before. So senses are in the animals also, in plants also. They also sense and they cringe. Like that when you come with a knife or with a blade and you come towards your cheek, it also cringes and it has an effect on your nerves, and these have got a contact with your sexual parts. And it makes a person weak. A man, many men, unfortunately, long before their time, they are impotent. Many, this is a big problem. And then they want to go to all sorts of other things, but this side we are causing it all the time. Okay? So also with regard to this, some buzurgs, and they were genuine buzurgs also, and they had come to India, but no beard. Our buzurgs met with them, such great people, they heard of them, but when they saw they haven't got beard, they said, how come you people not keeping beard? And they were genuine, they didn't feel offended. So they told, our buzurgi is in. Everyone's buzurgi is in a different thing, and Allah sees everything. So our buzurgi is, we don't cause hurt to any person, we don't hurt the feelings of any person. So these our buzurgs immediately told them, whenever you put the blade on your cheek, you are hurting the feelings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Immediately they realized and they accepted. So besides we hurting ourselves with the blade all the time, but we are hurting the feelings of our report goes day weekly, Mondays, Thursdays to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to this detail the report goes, if you pick up something from the masjid, some dirt, that is also goes and you get rewarded for that. So every detail, so this shaving of the beard, or we keeping the beard but we cutting it shorter, all this report goes. And on that our Shaykh Damat Barakatuh says that in America, Europe, may all the Sikhs who are there, they serve in the military, in the police force, traffic department, and they really keep their beards. And they don't cut the beard at all, they turn it in, etc. But they keep it all the time. And they fight court cases, and it's our rights, that we our religious freedom right, that we can keep our beards. And they win their cases, and they carry on serving. Our Shaykh says, if in the Qabr, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to ask us, oh my ummati, that Sikh, in his love of his Guru Nanak, which was all on falsehood, but he fought cases and he made sure he kept his beard. What didn't you like in my beard? What didn't you like in my countenance, my face, that you couldn't keep your beard properly? What answer will we have? So the beard is also, the proper full beard is very, very important that we should keep it also. Then we can go on to the ladies. With the ladies, starting from the top, one is the urni dopatta. A scarf is not really the right thing. It comes in the Quran Sharif. The dopatta, that should be worn in such a way that it falls over the breast. Though the breasts are covered, but even more. So there's no shape of the breast must be seen. The hair is to be covered. It is faraz for the woman to cover their hair. And even if there is no ghair mahram in the house, it is preferable that they still cover their hair. Because the farishtas are there also. And the farishtas also take offense if the hair is open. But it isn't haram if there is no ghair mahram. But it is preferable to cover the hair for the woman. And again, especially now in namaz, the dopatta, which is usually made of fine material, if it is such see-through, and you're just wearing it single fold or even double, but it is so thin that the color of the hair can be seen. This is the same rule, kasiyat ariyat, that they are making their namaz with the hair open, if the color of the hair can be seen. From the dopatta, if the color of the hair can be seen, then that namaz won't be made. The sitter is not covered in namaz. So therefore, they should wear such a dopatta, not the scarf, it's just that small thing which is meant. But a urni, in Urdu what we call an urni, that they should wear, that is not see-through. Or at least make it double or triple or fourfold, so that the color of the hair cannot be seen. that is one. Then the face of the woman and every part of the face is also of the aura of the sitter, including the eyes. Today there is also a fashion when burqa started, in South Africa. And that time, all should wear complete, the whole face. But the same thing, the fashion that was started in Makkah Sharif by the enemies and in Cairo, it took like wildfire in the whole world. And then this ninja type, what is called, with the eyes open. And some of them were quite very attractive, with that little piece here in the middle also, and the eyes open in a style. Even if you don't want to, how many of our friends, they have informed me that they just love to look at such women. And they don't take the eyes of a man who are pious, five times who have got this bimari, they say. That we just look, and until my eyes don't meet with that woman, I don't take my eyes off. And what a burqa is, according to Abu Dawood Sharif, the burqa actually should be something that distracts you. In fact, so much it should be a little bit dirty also. But today the burqas are also very colorful, different colors. And all different colors they use, this causes more attraction. The object of the burqa was that you don't look at them. Your eyes go off. And the main thing, the burqa which became farz on the woman of Medina right at the beginning, was that they be recognized as noble, honorable woman. And with any person, many people smoking, you see a Maulana coming, a person with a beard, they hide the cigarette away. Or at that moment, they don't smoke. That nobility. Like that with women, it should be, have been like that. When you see them, you just turn your eyes away. That these are noble women. They are respectable women. Now, if that burqa has become that it draws your attention, and you love to see them, then the whole object is defeated. You are wearing the burqa, but the whole object is defeated. So, and the main object is to stay away from the attraction of the woman. And her main attraction is in her face. And in the face, the main attraction is the eyes. So that is what has to be covered. So therefore, a woman, she should only emerge when there is a necessity. Deen's necessity or dunya's necessity. There is nobody to do her shopping to go and buy something. Something she wants to go and buy, they won't give on EPRO. She has to see it properly, so she has to go. But then she has to be dressed properly, covered completely. And really the burqa also, today the cloak is called the burqa. And the cloak is also very, very tight fitting. It reveals the shape of the object. The burqa should be such that you cannot make out whether there is an old lady, whether it's a young lady, whether she's a fat lady or she's a thin lady. But today the burqa reveals everything, the burqas we are wearing. These are more like just the cloak which is being worn. And that is being regarded as the burqa. A woman is permitted to wear beautiful clothing, bright colored clothing. And it's not practical that she has to go out of the house, she must go and change again. So she just puts on her burqa. That should cover everything what is under. And inside the house, and her beauty again, this is such a thing that our beauty we display, the woman also in the house, they stay like a piece of rag. But when they go out, how they dress up. So for who are they dressing? Just like the man wants his woman, how he wants his woman, like the other woman. How the other woman dress, he wants his wife to be like that. Her hairstyle, her clothing, everything. And the poor woman also came in the same, she's simple-minded, poorly. She came in it also. Now she also dresses like the other woman. So but who is the man staying? Is he staying with his wife or with the other woman? He wanted her to dress like the other woman. She made herself like the other woman. Now when the man is looking at her, playing with her, enjoying her, now is he enjoying her or the other woman? Because all the other woman thinks she brought. Be natural. And we don't have to follow the ways of the enemies. Let us not be influenced by them. We have got our particular way. And in Islam, al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. Sharam and haya, modesty, is a major part of iman. Let us maintain that iman. And where all this comes, the billboards that we look at, which you can't help, and then magazines, and then if you are watching TV, all these things, without us realizing, they are not just advertising one product, they are advertising the whole culture. And it is their motive to bring their culture 100% into the others. Like, for example, you see an advert, whether it's on TV or on a billboard, in the newspaper, magazines, they're advertising a cold drink, for example, Spalletta. But see how is that advertisement? There is a hammock, There is a 4x4 standing. It is by the beach. And that girl or woman is lying in the hammock drinking a Spalletta. Now they're advertising Spalletta. But why all the other things? That's a whole way of life of this. That going for holidays, going to the beach. And now, and one major principle, which they make quite clear, and they don't hide it. What is it in advertisement? That advert will come for a few seconds, but it will come repeatedly. And this, just like a Hafi student, repeats one ayat. Then he goes to Sabak. Then he goes to Sabak door. He comes back again. He goes to door. He comes back again. This repetition sets a thing in the mind. It makes it firm. So these adverts which are being repeated like that, without you realizing it subconsciously, it registers in your mind. The next, you want your wife to dress like that. Her hair must be cut like that. She must be wearing that half. Her body must be revealed completely. You want that in your wife now. You can't get that woman. You're a maulana. You're a tablighi. You're a Sufi sap. Now you can't go and get all that. But now you make yourself happy making your wife like that. Eh? So without us realizing how they bring all these things into us. So anyway, the dopatta and the hair. Also another thing, women have got this tendency, they like to cut their hair. And with all, the hair falls a lot, it falls in the food, so let me cut my hair short. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had short hair, because she made so much umrah, that they know everything. Now all those, just like men, know one sunnat, that to get married to two wives, four wives, that is the only sunnat men know. And women, they only know this, that even Hazrat Aisha radiallahu, they made so many umrahs. Now, if we also go with the niyat that umrah we are making to cut our hair all the time, then also what is the purpose of that whole umrah and the whole exercise? And we're doing two umrahs a day. So every time you have to cut your hair, and eventually you'll end up with short hair. But anyway, that and their hairstyle, that cutting of the hair, the one hadith, there are a group of malaika whose zikr all the time is that all praise is due to Allah who gave women in beauty in their long hair. And men, who Allah gave them beauty in their beards. So they are singing those praises all the time. So that is really what is the beauty of a woman, her long hair. And so that she should maintain, and man's hair also, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum said, the beard, and the same is for woman's hair. There are three basic rulings. One is taghseel, wash it regularly. And the other is tadheen, put oil. And tashmeet, comb it regularly. Don't let the hair, how many women also, this also, burqa has done such a great favor. How the hair is kept, but they have to go for a program, just put the burqa, nobody knows what's happening under. Hey, how that hair is, what condition it is, when it was combed or anything, nobody knows anything about it. Just put the burqa. No, it should be kept neatly. And a woman should dress for her husband in the house. That is the main thing. In the house, she should stay neat, and that's one major point. Many problems of husband-wife, we don't know where they start. The breaking point is something else, and we blame the breaking point. Just like if in Jamaat you get one brother to go out for 3 days, 4 months, it isn't your tashkil of that day and your bayan of that day. He was listening to bayans for how long? Slowly it built up. That was the breaking point. Now he got ready, he's going. Now you get proud and you say, oh, I made his tashkil. I got him ready. I got him out. No, there's a whole history behind it. The same way in a marriage, the breaking point is something. You blame that this happened today. But it all starts there. Now if a woman never keeps herself neat, tidy, automatically the man's eyes, the woman on the street are all dressed up. They are all dolled up. And Allah has kept the urge in every man. It is his food. He wants to see a nice woman. Now, if he's not seeing his wife nice, automatically he's going to start looking at other women. Then the breaking point will come there. And we'll say, because he went to that woman, he went there, that's why. But it all started here. The house must be kept neatly. The children must be kept neatly. And within our means. Whether you keep a maid, you don't keep a maid, but how much you can do. But we shouldn't be negligent about this. This brings a breaking point. So the hair of the woman also, always they should keep it neat. Also oiled. Many women also, like men, got a problem of migraine, headaches. No oil for the head. And that is the oil, the machine, the needs its oil. This is very, very important. And there again, there is detail, what oil, what season to eat. Also, with regard to food, we forgot to mention this. Food also we should eat according to the weather. We have got a set menu for the week. If it's Saturday night, Saturday is curry khichdi, no matter what the weather, it's curry khichdi. Whether it's something else, meat or whatever, according to the weather, that also needs a lot of detail. If the weather is hot, eat cold food, which temperament is cold. But what the weather is cold, eat a hot food, soup, etc. Chicken, etc. The whole things that will heat your body. Eggs. Don't have in summer every day 2 eggs for breakfast. In winter, no problem. According to your, and look at your own body. And you know the mizaj of your body also. That whether you have got a hot temperament in your body, or whether you have got a cold temperament. And these are things to know. But today we don't learn these things. We got time for a lot of other unnecessary things. And our basic, our own personal needs that we have to know. What to eat, how to eat, etc. Clothing, how to wear. That we don't know anything about that. Then we have health problems, we have psychological problems. All this has to do with our food, our eating, our lifestyle basically. So this is also important. So the dupatta of the woman, the hair. Coming down then, the dress of the woman, there also it is very important. Very sadly, you see in this magazines, tabloids which are being advertised, the Hindus are so proud now that our culture, we are promoting it, and even Muslims are taking our culture. Now it's Eid, and what are Muslims buying? Nehru suits. For Eid, buying, it is like, I remember when we were young, Eid could not be made without a brand new suit and tie. Today, alhamdulillah, Eid cannot be made without a kurta. Today there is a great change, alhamdulillah. But at that time, if you don't have a new suit and tie, Eid cannot be made. Now the time has come, Eid can't be made without the Nehru suit. And then another, the culture of the Hindus, that they are wearing, I don't know what they call it, like a blouse. And with the waist open. Because a new fashion is the belly button. So that has to be advertised. You took so much trouble of making it. And that is a major part of the sitar, which they are keeping open. And then below that, the gharara, or the, what call it, like a skirt, or all those things. Those are not our tariqas. Many of us think we are pious, we are all right, but we got Hindu culture, we got Christian culture, we got Jewish culture, we got Tamil culture. Bright colors in things. This is the Tamil culture. All these things, we have to be careful. And another very important thing about for the woman's dress coming from the top, we should wear what is called a kameez or kurta. For a woman also is the kurta, with slits on the sides, etc. That is the right dressing. The stop and pens, many learned people, good learned people, the women are wearing top and pens. They say we're wearing it in the house. Even in the house, it's not permissible. And if the husband, to please the husband, then that is a serious thing. His taste has gone bad. That his taste is the kuffar, the taste of the kuffar. He can't accept our taste, what is Islamic dress. So therefore, all that type of dressing. Another very thing harmful for women, like the brief and the jockey for men, are the braziers of women. This is also a very, very harmful thing. That is, with the second most delicate part on a woman's body. And the West, one professor, he has written a whole article, hopefully we are in the process of printing it, the woman of Binoni, Abdurrahman's auntie and them, they had it translated, that he has this braziers, it is the material it is made of, the foam, etc., or nylon material, or polyester. This prevents also air from reaching that part of the body. A senior doctor in Lahore has found that his major women who have got cancer, breast cancer problem, are all those who are wearing braziers. Because the air, body needs oxygen. Oxygen is life. Inside the body we need oxygen, outside the body. That's why Allah has made wuzu, faras for us. Roughly it's less, but 5 times a day preferably. Make wuzu 5 times. If your wuzu has remained, no problem. Water is oxygen, H2O. It's got oxygen in it. air has got oxygen, therefore wear light clothing. Don't cover yourself unnecessarily too much. Don't cover yourself too much with clothing. Let the oxygen come and reach your body. It's very, very vital. So this delicate part of the woman's body, it is covered with that foam, with polyester and foam, polyester and this fabric materials. Cotton is good for men's dressing also. Cotton is the best. All this polyester, etc., which is today the norm, everyone, this kurta of mine also all polyester. But what is the right thing is cotton. Cotton is the best. For winter, wool. And if you can wear pure wool, and if it's necessary, something has to add some part, all right. But wool for winter and for summer, cotton. That is the ideal thing. But this foam and these fabrics, they don't allow air. Then again, many of them are made with those wires, the braziers. And that is even worse. It's restricting the flow of blood terribly. And it is terrible. And what is the object of the brazier, which the West made clear? Why? Where have they invented the brazier? It's in order to highlight that part of the woman's body. The whole breast, and on top of that, the nipple. And that is to attract attention. And that is like for beauty it is being done. And today, how sadly, many Muslim women also wear a low-line dress to reveal the breast. That is not at all our tariqah. And if Muslim men go out, don't look at that filth of the other woman. Keep our gazes low. And we see them, then we want our woman to wear it. Because that woman had it, the bank teller or whoever else, now you saw her dressed like that. You can't get her. So now you want your wife to be dressed like that. The filth and dirt of kufr must not come into us. We have got a deen of complete modesty and nobility. So all this Western culture, Hindu culture, all other cultures, try and take it out. So the dressing of a woman must be a kurta, and also the bottom, a shalwar also. That also broad. Another thing, it is in the riwayat, the Kanzul Ummal, Kitab Kanzul Ummal, that Allah Ta'ala looks with mercy, and the Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given duas to the woman who wears izar. Today many again there, what are they wearing? Because they got a burqa on, so no izar under. Or the skirt, and no izar under. Though it's covering the body. Now Mufti will give fatwa, your namaz is made, but the izar is a mubarak thing. And then, under the izar, unnecessarily what is being worn, if it is of necessity, a woman during her days, in order to keep her pads in place, etc., she wears a panty, but unnecessarily. Here again, a little child out of the nappies, and the first thing you have to put a panty on for that child. What does the child need a panty for? When if there is a necessity, a woman have got quite some problems, etc., and for that they have to wear, they have to keep some things to protect themselves, that is different. Otherwise, that is not our tariqah also. Of necessity a person wears it, it's a different thing. Otherwise the izar, and also loose it should be. The shoes of a woman, very, very important. The high heels, the amount of harm that is in the high heels. Unimaginable amount of harm that is caused. Then they're suffering from varicose veins. Which woman is not having got varicose veins? Then they are suffering from other problems. It's an unnatural way of life. What has the West given us? Why are we so clinging to the West? Well, they have given us only destruction. So basically, a few points with regard to that. So in clothing, if there are any other points?
Stiff collar.
Gee, that has come. The stiff collar, and if you wear the close the button, etc., there is very, very unhealthy to wear a stiff collar. Try and be free. Leave it open, inshallah.
Die.
Khizab. Jazakumullah. Gee, with regard to the beard, if a person, when he's normally, that is when he does it, when his beard has become white, then he puts mehndi, khizab. He colors his beard. Besides black, it is permissible. Black is not permissible. So black is wa'id for a person, unless for jihad, etc. But otherwise, it is not permissible that we use black khizab, mehndi, color in order dye to color the beard. And for women also, and for men, even the hair of the head. You can use mehndi, different color, but not black. Jewelry. Jewelry is permissible for women. Today's stage, men are wearing wear and wear on the eyes and the nose and all funny places also. I usually say, yeah, that is another thing. I usually say that when you see your son and worse your daughter wearing sunglasses at night, then you must know they got a big problem. If they're wearing sunglasses at night, and when they're wearing the sunglasses at the back of the head, then you must know you got a very big problem now. We were in England, UK we were, by our Hazrat, we were coming back in London, we stayed a day or two, a night I think, and the person we stayed with was an optician. And at that time, some sportsman, soccer or cricket or whoever, I think it was a soccer, he had scored some goals and whatever, a hat-trick or something. And the sunglasses he was wearing, he says that I was selling them at £50. And he says, I put my price up to £500. And I had about 8-9 pairs in a few hours, all got sold out. And it was difficult, whereas £50, about 600-700 rand. And £500, 6,000-7,000 rand. And how they wear that sunglasses at the back. The glasses are at the back. Now this, when this happens, then what is the position of a person? So yeah, with regard to jewelry is permissible for women, but also they must not overdo it also. And in there also, a woman's heart is in her jewelry. But how many robberies, crimes take place because of this? The less we can have it also. And then again, jewelry is such a thing, especially the ring, it is tight on the body. It restricts the blood flow again. The less we can have of it, the better. Though it is permissible, but the less we can have, and to get too much involved and put your heart in there, it is very hard. It is just like Fariduddin Attar rahmatullah alayh. What was the turning point in his life? Is when a faqir came to his chemist, to his attar shop. Attar, he was his chemist. What we call a chemist today. And he told him that, how will your ruh come out? He says, what you worried of my ruh? How will my ruh come out? He says, your ruh is in all your bottles, your possessions, your dunya's things. And it's not only going to come out from every part of your body, from all those bottles, from your cars, your sofa, your house, all the things you have left for. Your ruh is in all those things. You have left for it. How will it come out? He said, don't worry about me, worry about yourself. He said, my ruh will come out like this. He lied down and he passed away. And then Fariduddin Attar, his life changed from there. This is how a person must live. So if the heart of the woman, her ruh is in her jewelry also, is in her pots and pans also, is in the cup, in the ear of her teacup also. If that breaks, is war that day in the house. So much of love for in her curtains. All those things, use it according to, make it less, then your love will come out of these things. Otherwise, our love in all these things, at the time of maut, like we hear, that how the ruh will come out, is like thorns, the ruh will, in every part of the body, like a silk cloth. And now from thorns you are pulling it out. How it will be torn to threads will be made of it. How will it come out? Like that the ruh will come out. So don't put our heart in these dunya's things, whether it's jewelry or anything. For man, sunnat, surma is at night, not in the day. Many people, Juma, Eid's day, man put surma. No, surma is for the night, and that is the care of the eye. Put the surma, and now also, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, the son of the world comes out in the morning. My son comes out at night. So the husband, he puts surma for his wife. He looks beautiful for his wife. The wife dresses up. She looks beautiful. And that is the right time. In the morning, make wuzu, wash it out properly again. Don't go and show your beauty outside. And a person of taqwa won't, if Allah has made him handsome also, he won't sell it on the streets to other women. He'll keep it for his wife. He won't sell it to other. A woman, if Allah has given her beauty, she won't go and sell it outside. She'll keep it for her husband. So these are very important points, and this is a reformation and Islam. If we can bring one thing, a change in our life, our Ramzan is successful. If we have made lot of ibadat, but we didn't change our life, sawab we will get for that. But we haven't reached the object. You are selling at cost price, you'll be the biggest man in the most busiest man in town. But tomorrow you'll be out of business. So if we make lot of ibadat and we are not saving ourselves from guna, a bucket with a hole in it, you are earning and it's all going out from the hole all the time. So let us try and
cut out our gunas. Every guna make niyat to cut it out. And analyze, from here we can see how lot of weakness we have got. How many of us, we left the kuffar wasted. All this Hindu, their dressing and all their way. Allah give us tawfiq, guide us towards righteousness. Wa akhiru da'wana.